Hey, what it do, sports fans? Welcome to the Sports Live podcast brought to you by Multimedia Live. I'm Sboom Jikeliso, your host, and I will be joined by various guests on this exciting new podcast to discuss the latest ins and outs of the sporting world. So, let's get straight into what was a very public humiliation for me last weekend, but a lot of ecstasy for a lot of people. Something that happened on Sunday, which I didn't see coming. Yeah, Chelsea losing 4-0 to Manchester United at Old Trafford. And I've brought in a mate off the field, arch enemy on the field, especially when it comes to the English Premier League, a red-blooded Man U fan, none other than Khanyiso K-Morism Chwakustan Chwaku, who called me and I ignored his calls, obviously, on Sunday after Chelsea lost to Man United. Chwaks, this is your once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get a good gloat out of your system. I'm only doing this because I want to show our podcast listeners that I can be a good loser, even though we had that game, but didn't take our chances. But anyway, this is not my platform. It's yours, Trucks. Take it away.
It's football. It's football.
Is that all? Is that all you're going to say? No, okay, thank you very much.
Things like those happen. I mean, I watched the last stretch of the first half and the entirety of the second half. Look, again, it's chances. I mean, if Chelsea converted the two chances that came off the bar, I mean, 2-1, 2-1 leading at halftime.
Three minutes in, Tammy Abraham rattles the bar.
Yeah, I mean, 3-1 leading at halftime. I mean, Manchester United, yes, it's one of those wins where a swallow doesn't a summer maketh. Let's not be fooled about how Manchester United season can end. You need to celebrate. You need to be like a Chiefs fan. You need to celebrate that minor win because there's a hell of a lot of difficulty that's going to come. If you look at how slick Man City and Liverpool were in their wins.
We're in an 18-team league.
Yeah,
like, I'm not even going to bother. They play together.
I mean, you know, City, I saw parts of that game against West Ham when the first half they were content to just let these guys play. They're like, okay, gents, let's shift a few gears. Let's see if they can respond. They shifted gears and then West Ham fell away. I mean, even Liverpool in third gear against Norwich. Third gear. They didn't even have to extend themselves in beating Norwich. You realize that,
I'm surprised they got a shot in. But hey, look.
But my point
sometimes a fluke can.
It's like
sneak in.
We were fortunate, and then we played reasonably well to score 4 against Chelsea. Those guys didn't even have to rock up. They just got there. They're like, just a normal day. Office magician register.
First day, Friday night.
It's
a walkabout. But anyway, let's not focus on that. Those guys are just on another stratosphere. I thought that 4-0 though, Mchan. That was flattering.
Parts of it were. But again, look, Man United had chances. They took them, and that's the biggest difference with. Yeah, and I think we've seen it plenty of times. I mean, we follow Bafana. Bafana will play well. And it was a Bafana-like performance from Chelsea where they played all of the football. Same thing happened when the teams drew to all last year at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea did all of the playing.
Ross
Barkley equalizer. Chelsea did all of the playing. Man United just had 3 opportunities, 2 of which were converted. So, again, it's still a long, long, long way to go. But I think Chelsea will get better. You ask yourself whether Frank Lampard is indeed suitable for the position, because again, it's a debate that we as South Africans we need to have over the qualifications of coaches and the readiness of coaches to actually ascend to high positions. Because I mean, Frank hasn't been out of the game for a very long time, and. One two.
I mean, he used to play with Luis, so like
again, sport is a very good example of animal form. Yeah. Some animals are far more equal than others.
In a principle way, right? If we're talking principle, which I don't want us to go deep into, like guys like Saul Campbell, Paul Ince, guys that have been out of the game for a long while and not getting Premier League coaching jobs, it's not really fair. And if you put Paul Ince in terms of great English midfielders, he's right up there, you know. But Is he going to get a job in the EPL soon? Probably not. Lampard, one season at Derby County, they didn't even make it past the playoffs.
I was very, very, very happy that West Bromwich Albion didn't get to the playoffs. Darren Moore did very well. He salvaged what was part of a sinking ship, because he got there. I mean, Albion were pretty much out of it.
Down and out,
but he tried to salvage that ship, and he did pretty well with them, and he still got fired. So the racial demographic of English football coaching is another podcast for another day.
Yeah, it's another whole podcast for another day. Okay, still on Man United, Chelsea. Okay, let me give you my thoughts. I thought that was a game that at the very least we deserved a draw, but you know, you don't get the draw you deserve. You don't get the points you deserve. You only get the points that you get.
Play for.
Very naive from Frank to play both Tammy Abraham and Mason Mount. I know Mason Mount had a good game, but for me, going to Old Trafford, you need some sort of steel, right? Some sort of hardness. You need some hard balls when you go to Old Trafford, even if it's not the Old Trafford of Sir Alex, but you need to go there, put Giroud up front at the very least, so that at least he's playing against defenders that do respect him. Like Maguire didn't respect Tammy Abraham, China, and neither did Lindelof. So. Yeah. Every time he got the ball with his back to the goal, he was getting picked off. He didn't know how to hold them off. Whereas Giroud, they're not going to press Giroud that hard. They know it's Giroud, and he's got that soft touch. He can lay the ball off, and he did that incredibly for Eden Hazard, who even went against the coach's wishes and said, I would prefer to play with Giroud than play with any other striker at Chelsea. You know, so very naive. I would have started Giroud. And then put Mason Mount in there. Kante is not fit for us, but when he did come on, he was world class again. But it's fine.
It's a big
game. We'll improve.
Look, in
I don't
big
know what
game,
you thought of your youngsters.
Look, in a big game, I'd rather have at least half a season to make an assumption.
Okay.
Or to build a case whether a youngster's doing well or not. Because, again, I think as we've seen over the years where players start very well, then they taper off very quickly. So you'd rather build a case. At least half a season, 18 games is enough to build a case. Where, okay, is this youngster coming or going? But again, I mean, it's a big game. You need to have proven players in a big game. Yes, you can have a youngster who can actually use that game to state a major case for themselves. Mm. But again, as inconsistent Manchester United were this last season, you always got a feeling that they pretty much would play well in big matches, you see, and then fall asleep against teams like the Wolves. So,
yeah.
I mean, even as good as Man City and Liverpool are at the moment, you'd find that Man United will play reasonably well, even without winning. They'll against actually City. Rock up. They'll rock up because of the occasion
Definitely
of the game.
Against City.
They'll still lose.
Against Liverpool.
Yes, they'll still lose, but you'd find that the fact that it's a big game, they then switch on.
Mm.
It's like this. Smaller Nyana teams when they play Chiefs. I mean, TS Galaxy, for example. TS Galaxy will never show that kind of intensity for any other team unless they play Chiefs, Pirates, Sundowns.
Yeah.
They'll rock up for those big three games. You don't even need to motivate yourself. It's a big team as well. Look, I mean, for some players, they look at those games and they realize that I could actually play for a contract here. One big performance. And I mean, Zakelele Pasa used that game to get back to Pirates. He played well throughout the Nedbank Cup, but that game alone,
that
highlights real game where he's like, I've arrived. And then Pirates are like, okay, we need to actually get this kid back in the big team.
Rashford, is he a genuine centre forward now?
Again,
as a Man U fan, like you're looking at it at a fan perspective, do you feel like, we've got a striker now?
I don't know what constitutes a genuine centre forward anymore. That's the thing, because you'd find that. I think it depends.
Like Aubameyang, bro. Like a 20 goal a season player.
Nah.
Is he a 20 goal a
season? Yes.
15 to 20. Maybe he's not
score.
A high end like Aubameyang.
No, you need to score those goals first. Score those goals first. Then we can make an assumption.
You almost got a hat trick.
You could be a center forward, but whether you're effective or not, it's like being a loose forward. You can be a loose forward, but are you good at what you do on a regular basis?
So only goals will determine whether.
I think with that position, your currency is straightforward. It's like a goalkeeper. Your goalkeeper's currency is clean sheets. You're a good goalkeeper, you judge on how many clean sheets you keep. regardless of whether you have a good defense or not.
Cool, thanks. You kind of didn't gloat as badly as I thought you would.
I'm unlike you. Okay, I'm unlike you and one Ziggy Samvumvu when, the cat's got his tongue properly today. There's nothing he can say, no do. I mean, Chiefs, you should be happy, but Chelsea lost. But anyway, let me not highlight on individuals.
Cool. Give me a playmaker of the week. Your options are Marcus Rashford for his two goals against Chelsea, Raheem Sterling's hat-trick against West Ham, Andre Pollard's performance against the Los Pumas of Argentina and Salta, and the Wallaby duo of Samu Kerevi and Curtly Beale against the All Blacks.
Yeah, you can't look past Kerevi and Beale.
On a weekend where Sterling's got a hat-trick, granted, it's West Ham and
City. You can't. Okay. Australia put 47 points past New Zealand. You can't look past that.
Okay. All right. Granted. Scott Barrett, was that a red?
Yes.
Just off topic?
Yes.
Red all day.
Yes, all day.
All day, three match ban.
The New Zealand media can whine all they want. You cannot be leading with the shoulder into a rack. It is black and white in the law book. That is a straight red card offense. And I mean, it's one of those times where maybe he's got away with it, but in a big game he didn't.
Upset of the week. I'm putting Man United beating Chelsea 4-0 here, I'm trying. Bloemfontein Celtic beating Golden Arrows 5-0. Brighton beating Watford 3-0. At Watford.
I still think that even the New Zealand game, that no one would have thought. I understand you've got your list.
China, it's not an upset of the week. No one's gotten an upset of the week double in this podcast.
No one in their right minds would have put money on Australia putting 47 past New Zealand. No one.
Not 47 per se, but a victory or certainly 19, on the
a 19-point win. When last of the box put a 19-point win? That was back, I think, in 2004 when they won at Ellis Park when Marius Ube scored a hat-trick. The box...
Against who?
Against the All Blacks at Ellis Park.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that...
Marius Ube, 2004. Yeah.
I mean, New Zealand's biggest defeat was that 38-21 loss to England in Twickenham in 2013.
Biggest ever defeat.
Like in recent terms of margins. So when you look at it, no one just rocks up and just.
China, you're gonna give the Wallabies a rare award.
Buddy, they have
the weekend.
They are looking at winning the Bledisloe Cup for the first time since 2001.
If they do it next week, I'll give them the double.
No. True. But
so it's a pending. Let's say it's a pending.
I think the magnitude of that result. Look, I mean, you can't write off the All Blacks. You can't just rock up. On the Test match day and put 47 past New Zealand.
Guns.
All right, Choco San, thanks for coming in, mate. We are going to continue the rest of the pod without you, but thank you for joining us for the first segment.
That unpacks the divisive issue of gun ownership in South Africa. Join legal expert Martin Hood as he hosts a series of talks with both sides of the gun lobby. Whether you support the right to carry guns or you believe they're a destructive tool that society could do without, Guncast will enlighten and challenge you in equal measure. Find Guncast now on the Cliff Central app, on cliffcentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, so we did switch things up a little bit this week after that chat with Kanyiso Chwaku, talking all things Manchester United beating Chelsea 4-0 at Old Trafford. But let's move to more serious stuff now. First up, the Springboks arrived back on Monday from Argentina, where they completed a 46-13 win over Los Pumas to capture the rugby championship for the first time since it was the Tri Nations in 2009. That was under Peter de Villiers. They face Argentina again this weekend, where regular skipper Siya Kolisi is expected to make his comeback. It is a friendly that is organized in preparation for the upcoming Rugby World Cup. Pop coach Rassi Rasmus said Siya was a player they desperately wanted to be at the Rugby World Cup in Japan next month. He also spoke about the transformation in team fortunes since he took over from Alistair Coutier, I think less than 18 months ago now. But let's listen to this clip of Rassi Rasmus at the arrival press conference on Monday.
Ready to make the Springbok squad. Latest on Seattle DC, I saw that he played a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I think we'll seldom just always just fast track a guy straight into test match rugby, but see us one of the guys that we desperately want to be have involved in the World Cup. He did fairly okay on Saturday. I thought he came through the game, most importantly, not injured or didn't show any signs of the injury. So we'll probably involve him this weekend. Again, it will be limited minutes. You can't just throw him into a game like that. I'm not sure what team Argentina will send, but I'm pretty sure they'll send a really strong team. So we'll involve him slowly. Of course, you know, we know what we have in the guys who played currently, and even on the leadership side, they managed really well without him. And we won't rush him back, you know. We've got some time to slowly build him into the team environment. So he'll play this weekend, but maybe limited amount of minutes to make sure that we slowly get him into the mix.
Rossi, what would you say has been the key? I mean, the last 2 years, seen a team struggling, now winning trophies. What would you say has been the key to that change, be it attitudes and, of course, results?
I think a lot of time when things goes bad, the coaches and the administrators take a lot of flack, you know. Same CEO, same president, same administrators who's running the game, the South African rugby game at this stage. But we're doing a little bit better than in the past. I think now the players must take credit currently the way it's going. Of course, you know, nothing changed on top. You know, it's same CEO, same president, same structures, and the players are performing now. I think the big thing that I see differently from the players is really the word ownership. I think they understand the principle that we are playing with the supporters' hearts, you know. We are playing with their emotions. We are playing with the way they feel, their happiness, and that's a big responsibility. And the main thing that we should do is train really hard and play really hard and play well on Saturdays. And that should be the only thing that they really measure on us, not on anything else, you know. It's good to be a public speaker, a good public speaker. It's good to have a lot of Twitter followers, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is to take ownership of your main job, which is rugby, and I think the players came up with that suggestion. They took it to heart, and I think they're really doing it. And but while saying that, you know, it's only baby steps. We've only played three matches this year. We're playing a big one this Saturday, the last one before we leave, which is important for us to keep momentum before we go over there. And again, the boys know, you know, on the park this afternoon again. Prepare, play well, and that's when the supporters will keep on supporting. And I really think that's what slowly, because we're not close to where we want to be, that's slowly changing that professional player mindset.
Right, so for this week's special conversation, I've gone the extra mile. I was in Durban last weekend thanks to the multi-choice Disky Challenge guys. And while I was there, I managed to catch up with a rugby player I've always suspected has a cracking story to tell, and I wasn't wrong. Just before I flew out, we had beers at a very nice and accommodating local on Florida Road called House of Curries, and we had one of the most frank conversations I've ever had with a former professional player. It's a no-holds-barred interview with the kind of lightheartedness that'll probably make for a compelling documentary someday. It is with former Lions lock MB Lusaseni. He's also a former SA Under 20 Junior Springbok. MB Lusaseni retired from professional rugby at just the age of 26. He is now 30 and is a player coach at the College Rovers, a club down in Durban. He is assisting at the Sharks in a coaching capacity and assists at Glenwood High School, trying to build his coaching career up. To say it's a tragedy that he's not playing professional rugby right now would be a massive understatement. But I want him to tell you his journey himself. Just a quick disclaimer before we play the first part of what will be a two-part interview with MB Lusaseni. This interview was a telling of MB's own personal journey and not a dig at any organization mentioned or people mentioned in this interview, many of whom had particular jobs to do themselves and some of whom are no longer in the rugby picture. So I hope none of this is taken out of context. Secondly, please excuse some of the drink slurping and patrons chatting and ice getting crushed and some guy with a motorbike driving past while we're having this interview. It is Durban after all, so this is the kind of vibe you would expect to go down on Florida Road. But as I mentioned earlier, we were accommodated at this very, very lovely pub for this interview, and it was the best possible setting for this kind of conversation. And in spite of that slight background noise, it is an unbelievable interview. Top five interviews I've ever had in my journalism career, and I've been a journalist since 2006, so go figure, this ranks in the top five. But let's get into it. Let's get right into the chat, part one with MB Lusaseni.
Yeah, so this dude says...
Oh, this guy, man, like, Utah Abulin Kazai.
Yeah.
Like, big brothers in rugby, like, so as soon as we all basically retired, actually, it was even before we retired.
Yeah.
Because at that point in time, obviously, with these conversations we used to have, you know, within our groups and all that, like, we used to say about guys, listen, man, we've had so much experience, you know, within this rugby culture and how things work, and, you know, Siyabona Kuti, there are certain things that worked for us and certain things that didn't work for us, but the sad reality is that there are so many youngsters that are coming through, and they don't even have any guidance.
We even looked upon ourselves
about, guys, did we even have mentors?
Probably not.
We didn't. Like, our mentors are guys we're watching on TV, basically. Yeah,
but did they mentor?
Like, just because
you see Tobadi Bobo on TV mentoring.
Not even one bit, bro. But I think another thing is about, we never really asked the right questions, I guess, at that point in time.
Yeah.
One thing is that we want to know about, okay, how do I play the first team? How do I play for the Sharks senior team? What do I need to do? Do I need to get bigger? Because that's what they tell you every single day.
Yeah.
Guys, get bigger, get stronger, get faster, type of thing. But the other side of the coin is, by, you know what? There's so many other challenges behind the game. And those challenges, we actually realized that we all went through. So on gets to Ben. Yeah, but now it's just sad that we can't actually speak about it, you know, to some extent. Like, and that was whether it's a case of we're giving them too much credit, but okay, on this level, on this level. So let's not actually put our problems and make them there, or make our problems theirs.
I mean, they're the ones that actually are in the front row of everything that you guys are even yet to go through.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, but so that's what I'm saying. I can't really fault them to some extent, because we never put ourselves out there in that way. Only thing that we put ourselves out there is about, okay, how do I play for, you know, first team Sharks or whatever? And obviously, they'll give you, you know, the same kind of explanations. Amochima, train hard, you know, when you get your chance, use it, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now there's so many other things behind it, you know, so much politics behind it. There's so much situations with agents that you have to deal with that we won't know. This guy's ours in the team. It was so new to us at that point in time. So,
were there any black agents then? Brothers, there's only three now.
There are three black agents. So good chill. But I'm yet to actually see, like, the actual, you know, proper progress. But, no, they are. But at that point in time, there's nobody, man.
There was nobody.
Yeah.
If you wanted a contract, you had to go with the white guys.
You had to go with the white guys. But here's the funny story, you know?
Yeah.
And, and funny enough, since we're talking about agents. So I'll tell you about my story here at the Sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. When we got you. So there's this one guy. Yeah, boy. I'll name drop.
Okay.
There's one guy, Richard Diaga. Yeah, boy. So he was working at the Sharks already.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he was involved in development or whatnot, but he had a certain, you know, position at the Sharks, you know. But now the thing is, he was also practicing as an agent. Yeah, boy, this guy. So funny enough, all of the black players at the Sharks signed under this guy. Because Nyane, I mean, like, let's get real, he was pretty much our only link that we had to the... Yeah, he was the only link that we had to
So you didn't have to... But to boost your chances.
Yeah, so to speak, he was a familiar face. He was a familiar face. Yeah, but everybody else was like a stranger to us, so we didn't know who to trust. So at least Kuya, like, is a person that we could talk to all the time. I think it was our under-19 manager when I got you. It was our
in-house.
Yeah, but he's in-house. Yeah. So things, all these things, that's his eyes, guys. We're still fresh out the box. We don't know what the hell's going on.
Not even one bit. Yeah,
So all of us, we ended up being affiliated with this guy. We didn't physically sign with him as an on paper, but... In the sense of, there were some guys who signed with him on paper, some guys were like, okay, verbal agreements, but nonetheless, he did the work, and Nachi King, we also responded as well. But long story short, this guy now, like, it got to a point whereby, hey, especially when it came to contract negotiation time, when the open season came up, we're like, we don't understand. This guy literally, like, he's making sure that, okay, fine, we're accepting certain, you know, terms and agreements, especially due with the Sharks, you know, because Sharks are offering, like, they're offering some okay contracts, but the other guys were getting better offers, you know. So they're trying to use So they're trying to use those offers as leverage, you know, towards the Sharks. But you can see, this guy is actually trying to keep us down. Like, he's making sure, but you know what, dude, you get signing according to whatever it is that, you know, he's saying, but that's what your worth is. At that point in time, when you're 19 or 20, you know, coming out of school and the whole works, do you even know what your worth is? Yeah, boy.
No.
You know, like, exactly. You don't even know what, how much you're supposed to be getting, what the benchmark is at that point in time. Those are things that we weren't exposed to. Those are things that even our mentors didn't even know, born for themselves, so to speak. Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
So now you start asking yourself, about guys, like, how's this working? Because there's a player now, there are other players within our age group, white players, obviously, within our age group, and they were earning not even 10 times more. Probably close to 20 times more.
No way.
Yeah, but kid you not. They're earning probably close to 20 times more. And we are playing almost like the same positions and all that kind of situations, but they're benching for us. We are actually put in a position whereby the coach is asking us to teach them certain drills and certain techniques and the whole works just to make sure that, okay, back then. And we do that. Yeah, but because we're team players. We are team players.
You're naive.
Like, we're entertaining rugby as rugby in itself, you know. Like, let's put it this way. We know nothing about professional rugby from school. High school,
just love the game. That's it.
That's the only thing we wanted to do. We want to make sure that we get the best out of the game. That's the only thing we wanted. So next thing now, I mean, like, there's these certain players we end up teaching and coaching, you know, during practices, but, you know, this is how you jump. This is how you scrum and stuff.
Get out of here, man. At a professional union.
At a professional union.
You're teaching folks how to bloody well.
Yeah, like,
go with drills. That's a coach's job.
No, it is. But the nice thing about, like, let's say, for example, with coaches is, you get certain coaches that like to delegate. Oh. And they're good coaches. Those are very good coaches. Right. So the thing is, especially when it comes to coaching, it's always good for most players learn from other players more than they learn from a coach. So if one player knows about Ayman, how come he can do this but I can't? And so now if I, you know, can catch on to it, I'll catch on much quicker than if a coach tells me. With a coach, you're expecting him to know. You're expecting him to know everything. Yeah. So it's one of those situations. So we end up coaching these kids in the whole works. And then within a year's time, they're the ones who are playing seniors, and we're the ones getting told about, guys, we're done. Like, we don't have anything for you guys. Or, sorry, like, you know, situation. And you start asking yourself, okay, what exactly is going on? You know, that's the thing. I think that was the first time I had my first question. You know, there was a certain player. Yeah, but a very good friend of mine. We all loved him to death and all and stuff. But, like, in our age group situation, literally we're coaching this guy throughout the whole time. Wow. How to catch the ball, how to do certain things. As soon as under 21 hit, he was a great player. Make no mistake about that. He didn't make an SN 20. We make it SN 20. Yeah, boy. Yeah. So all the situations.
Weren't you in the same SN 20 as Lionel?
Yeah, Lionel Map. No, same year.
Same year as Lionel, right?
Lionel Map, Ucesa Africa.
Lionel got screwed at Cheetahs, bro.
Hard.
Like, I remember there was a scandal throughout the whole country. Bro.
No, but then about Lionel, you know, like, to us, it just didn't make any sense. But the thing is, we only saw it later on by, oh, shit, this is what exactly is going on.
This is what is exactly. Yeah,
later on.
When the Lionel thing
when,
blows
when
up.
When everything blows up, we're like, hey, Mjita, got to be cool, Jeff, you know, type of thing. So, in like Lionel, when we started SN at 20, I think he had already signed a 3-year contract with Cheetahs, you know, one at $2,000 a month or whatever type of thing. You see the funny thing about that in-house agent
that we're talking about?
Let's say, for example, Richard. So, for a person like that now, with that in-house agent, so this guy now knows exactly what's going on in your own personal life. Yeah, boy. He knows exactly the road and the struggles you've been through.
So, you can't turn this contract down, right?
Mm-hmm. So look at it this way. If now this guy knows that, dude, you don't even know what $1,000 looks like. In your account, you don't even know what $1,000 looks like in your account. Like, you, the most that you've ever gotten was probably like $50 for a derby day when your dad gives you $50. So, you're dad, and always that's the most you've ever gotten, you know, so to speak. And $50 is like a lot of money for like the weekend, so to speak. Yeah, but so Lomjin has understanding, but you know what, dude,
perspective, everything is perspective, and
and that this bit of money that you're getting from here is going a long way, especially Ekaya, so to speak. Yeah, but
you can't turn it down.
Exactly.
He knows so now, that it's going to look bad on you.
On you, most importantly.
Him. Yeah, but if you say, turn down 10,000 rand.
That kind of thing.
They'll be like,
you know, it's a nice thing.
You're turning down 10,000 rand. I did this Oaks, like, getting 80, getting like, 90.
Dude, it was really. Right? The funny thing is that my city, you see the way you're talking about, like, say, for example, you're saying 10,000 rand. 10,000 rand is a shitload of money for
really,
us.
Really,
man?
No
I kid you not.
Don't tell
now,
me.
Let's get real. No, it's about. I'll tell you now. I'll tell you my roots right now. Out of high school, man. So I've signed here the Sharks for a remuneration of, how much was it? It was 2,000 a month. 2,000 a month. No, I kid you not. 2,000 a month. Well, guys, trust me, that was a good package. Whoa, don't get it twisted. I'm not going to say about it's 2,000 a month. And it's like,
no, 2,000
a month was just a good package. As in, for all the guys in our circle. The guys in our circle, I was getting 2,000 a month.
What's some of the guys?
But Subs and Club, or Nubeko Zulu, yo, there were so many guys. Menzim Gidi, there was Taban Sangweni, Oparam Teto, Menzim Teto was also there.
Yeah.
There was a couple of guys, Lusuko Fulintu was there as well. Olazim Wolf was there as well, that point in time when it all started. So, like, there were a lot of guys, you know, that's that WhatsApp group. But from whatever we knew,
and
like,
you, and you're banking 2K, Jana. You are.
But the nice thing is that, okay, for in my defense, I was like, okay, it's 2K, net. But the nice thing is that everything else was almost taken care of, because they're in the B&B, you know, so accommodation and stuff was taken care of.
No, but sorry, I don't mean
but,
to laugh.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool, by all means. But the sad reality is that there were other guys who I was likely to say, okay, 2K for me was go and enjoy yourself. Remuneration was like a standard package.
You're taking care of. You don't have to worry about expenses.
There were other guys who were getting 700 rand. Otherwise, everything else, you know, maybe like the club will try and take care of you or somehow, you know, type of thing. But these guys are contracted, so yeah, Buzan Hoka Koba, dude, are these people expecting you, like, Ushikai Lakwe Khautin, Uze Apa Etegwin, to come and basically, obviously play for them, make a mistake, but to be on a 700 rand contract from them. That's what they're willing to help you with.
No way.
700 rand. Knowing that, okay, fine. Luckily enough, your club is going to sort out accommodation for you. So I find a club, Yako, and luckily enough, they'll sort out the meals. But everything else has to come out from that 700 rand.
Ah, get out of here,
bro. It was one in your life, plus 700 rand. And when this is 2007. So Fregus Bonel, but what exactly?
Is that long ago.
It's not that long ago. 700 rand is still shit. I'm not gonna lie to you. It is still shit.
It's still shit now.
It's even worse. So I'm like, so now when this friend of mine told me this thing, I was like, you know, I felt bad because I'm like, okay, dude, at least I'm earning 2K a month, you know, type of thing. When it's 700, like like, what are you even, dude, you know, type of thing? You put your body through so much.
I know someone, whoever's gonna listen to this, probably think it's distasteful.
What I know, by all means, bro. By all means,
it's just it's one of context. Those. It's ridiculous. It's too ridiculous. You know when you like laugh at a tragedy when things go so bad, you end up laughing, but it's not funny.
It is what it is, bro.
It's like a tragic comic. Like, yeah, what they call it.
So the thing is, but the sad reality is that at that point in time, honestly, we were still just playing for Tando Kale, right? You know, for the love of it, you know. I think we also had like in the back of our minds, we're like, okay, guys. We've watched certain people's progressions, you know, and that's the only way we're going to be able to, you know, measure ourselves. But okay, so-and-so took him 3 years, so-and-so took him 4 years. So, you know, let's bite the bullet now and then see what exactly can happen, you know, type of thing. But on the flip side, one thing I can actually commend Sharks about, for example, is these guys actually know how to build a player. They're not a developed player from the get-go. And the thing is, the way in terms of bridging the gap as well, as in from obviously being you know, as rough diamond to actually being somebody or Kwazulu Kale in the Super Rugby level, they can do that in a very, very short time. And they do it very well. Yeah. Because obviously the coaching staff there and the whole works. That's one thing that I actually saw only when I left the Sharks. But hey, guys, we're actually lucky to be in that position. Like
development. Like really, actually, the Sharks Academy is rugby academy.
Most definitely, they'll develop you. And the funny thing is, like, obviously, I'm talking about my story because this is where I started. But the thing is, there are so many other guys who've got the same stories in other different unions and different ways. You know,
Bulls might say they've got a similar sort of setup. They've got a good turnaround. I wouldn't say they've got a development academy though. Jack. I don't think they develop.
The Bulls almost like they take a finished product. It's almost like they take a finished product from school.
They like a high-end product, and then they add that bull spice. That bull
spice, and then...
Then you take your scrawny kids, ends up looking like Jesse Creel. And you're like, okay.
Benjamin, you know. So Nyanu Nyanzira is one of those, Yabona, but that's one thing I seriously commend about this place. Even when I came back to coaching, I was like, this is the only place I actually want to come back to coaching because they got it right. Whatever it is that they were doing at that point in time and the people that they had around them, they got it right.
So you were in the back of your mind, you thought, okay, coaching-wise, Sharks definitely...
Most definitely.
The best for your experience.
Yeah. Especially when I was still, like, raw as hell, you know, like, I'm from Cox. I'm from last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year. So now I was in a... I was I was in two minds, Yabon.
Yeah.
At first, I was like, okay, shit, I need to be at the coast. And secondly, I was like, okay, I need to be in a position whereby I'm not too far away from home, Yabon.
Okay.
So it was either PE, because I was like, I actually want to go to EP Kings or NNMMU.
Okay.
Yabon, put out some feeders out there. I was like, I spoke to a couple of people. But guys, you know what? This is my situation. I actually want to start coaching, but I want to actually coach around this area. I want to actually add it to development, Yabon. I even went as far as to say, guys, listen, I'm willing to go pro bono with the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because to me, it's almost like it's a year for growth more than anything else. Yeah, but I'm going to grow, I'm going to grow, but I also want to add, you know, value in terms of whatever's going on. But my issue was that, but I didn't know how to coach properly. Yeah, but
also, you also needed to be developed.
To be developed as a coach. Yeah, but so that was a thing, situation. And now with that development structure, PE was almost like no way to go. Like, let's get real. Everything there was just, it was just all over the place. No. So that's why I decided to come here, because at least here I know about have the support that will actually help me to develop myself. And I'm going to, they'll appreciate a lot of situations that I actually put on the table. Yeah, but so I became one of those. But yeah, no, on a personal story in terms of how we actually broke out from under 19, under 20, and so on and so forth. Like, bruh, it was rough, man. I think now when we look back, we're like, dude, we actually went through the most. Like, basically, yeah, it's good here, like, it's not supposed to be like this, you know, type of
that's
thing. You know, trust me, okay. Do you know when the pin dropped? There was a penny
dropped. I was about to ask, like, when do you get the perspective that, okay, no.
This is not right.
Yeah.
SN 20.
God, Lord.
We're in SN 20.
So I think I only remember Lionel from your SN 20 group.
For our team, okay.
Yeah, I was Pat there.
No, he wasn't. It was a year of Vaynon Villas, Francois Brahma, Marnus Bosov, Cecil Africa, there was Wilton Peterson there as well.
Marnus Bosov,
yeah.
Okay,
there was Wilton Peterson. Who's that? Nick Costa was there as well. So, it was that year of all those legends. Yeah, Cornel Hesses, Martin Millers.
Nick Costa, number eight, seven.
That was Nick Costa. So, it was that year. Stephen Bartomeu.
Okay.
Those are the guys, yeah. So, that year, 2008. Yeah, but I think he was the coach there, man. Who's that guy? Who's that clown? And I'm going to call him a clown and he can actually put it on the thing. A guy, his name, man. It was a short color. He ended up going to the Bulls to go and help there. His name will pop up just now, but I've got a story behind him as well. So, just around that time, about 2008.
Yeah.
So, anyways, when the penny dropped, we were literally having a conversation, yeah, but just subs myself, subs. My friend from Johannesburg, myself, and Stephen Vatame.
Okay.
Yeah, so we just chatted because now, like, obviously within our contracts, there's certain clauses, you know, type of thing as well. Okay, if you make a certain team, so if you make the Curry Cup, then there's going to be a certain added bonus and whatnot. And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that was literally our only motivation. But okay, you know what? At least something is happening. Something's airborne, you know, something is coming our way. So we make SNR 20, showcase, the bonus comes in. We're happy, you know. We're like, guys, we've done the most. Yeah, well, 10,000 came in right away.
10K bonus.
We're happy.
Showcase. Yeah.
But now the funny thing is that we're having this conversation with one of our teammates, Stephen Batame. And we're like, hey, guy, you know, this what's going on? And we
don't laugh, man.
I'm laughing because he laughed. So we're telling him about how much we made, you know, as about how much we make.
So
you
you're like, we're balling.
We're not even talking about 10K. Now we're talking about our salary.
Yeah,
We're just talking about, I know how much we make and everything. We're like, yeah, you know, we be good. Hey, the guy just starts laughing. Hey, we're like, I mean, but, you know, we're holding composure.
Yeah.
Guy starts laughing. We're like, what are you laughing at, bro? It's like, what do you guys say? I'm like, no. You pay 2K, bro. This is 2008, you know. So like, we're SN20 already. Like, okay, pay 2K a month.
I'll never get over this.
We're cool with it, you know. Live, you know, type of thing. We'll do the most. And he's like, wait, bro, is that even legal?
Fuck.
Now think of us at that point in time when we're thinking about, okay, wait a second. This guy just threw a certain bomb. And it's not about the fact that he's laughing at 2,000.
Yeah, he's not even saying whether you're like a rugby player.
Exactly.
It's not even comparative to that. Yeah, he's like, are you even
supposed to be 2K as an employee, as an employee or whatever. So now, that's when we start thinking about, hey guys, Iman, because we didn't really read our contracts. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
To us, we only read like the last page, annexure, whatever, Z or whatever. So we only read that page about, okay, guys, listen, this is how much you're getting, the whole works, you know. and half the things that they were writing, the basic writing, they as a Zazik outlet in type of thing. These are things now that agents are supposed to also help you with.
No.
But now the problem is that our agent is in-house. So obviously you are turned by your own kind of answer guy.
Ah,
so,
no
so in yeah. like so in like about all of this, bro, is that now when the penny dropped for us, but wait a second, like if this is not supposed to be happening, you know, then what exactly is it? That's when we started actually educating ourselves. No, that's when we started educating ourselves in terms of the benchmark that we're supposed to be getting in certain levels and in certain situations.
And?
That's when we realized, but dude, we're not just underpaid. Like, any situation then, as you understand by doing, but this is another situation that doesn't make sense. Yeah, but for us as players and for just in general. So, only to find out that we, at that point in time, I think we had played, what's this? We were in a certain high performance stable. So now we had played Vodacom Cup. So it was Wildebeest back then. So it's Super Sport Challenge.
Oh right,
and the whole works. And yeah, so pretty much now in terms of moving up in terms of ranks, it would be Super Sport Challenge, then Curry Cup, then be Super Rugby.
Yeah.
But now all of these challenges have got certain benchmarks.
Right.
That you know that you literally can't get paid less, you know, than a certain amount. I don't know if at that time. I think at that point in time it was either 10 or 15. Okay. I'm not sure if you're playing, like, if you're a contract.
Entry level.
So these are 10 or 15K.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are things now that obviously other people within the sport are already aware of because of the people that are helping them out.
Yeah,
whether
it's
parents or whether it's their agents or the whole works. Yeah, because they understand. So they know exactly about when I go there to go negotiate, this is where I start.
Start from 15.
Clean.
Up.
That's the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're very much aware of the situation. But so we're like, I man, what exactly is going on? So when we came back from the SNI 2012, it was in Wales Food. When we came back from there, with the subs and Tilip was also there, and Milo, he was also playing there with us. Dagi, we were from the Sharks, but we were playing there.
Yeah.
We actually asked the survivor guys, like, this thing doesn't make sense. Yeah, but. So now that's when we actually went back to our agent, so to speak, this guy. And we're like, guy, listen, man, what exactly is going on? You know, because the problem here is, but we're not supposed to be in this position, you know, type of thing, but what exactly is happening? The issue with that guy is that that guy now had some affiliations in England or whatever nonsense was. So half the year, he wouldn't be around, you know. But the sad reality is that he wouldn't be around during the crucial times when it's contract negotiation. For some reason, when it's during contract negotiation, he would be in England the whole time.
What?
And then we'd had to deal face-to-face with Abo Rudolf Strauli and about Kevin Melville. The guys were involved in commercial managers.
And these guys are too big for you guys to handle.
How do you
no way you're going to sit across the table to Rudolph.
What conversation do we even start with? Let's start there.
And tell him about benchmarks and these institutions. The World Cup winner, Springbok, former coach of the Springboks. He's a very intimidating figure.
No, he is. He is. Beyond. Like, he's one of those
guys.
And
he's a lawyer. Exactly. He's a trained lawyer as well. So you don't want to mess with Rudolph.
So now he has boos about, okay, fine, clear position to Guyo. Where do I even start? Where do I even begin? You know?
So it
got a position whereby Nyanike, and the thing is, we couldn't ask any other people as well. The people that we had in terms of mentorship or whatever, we're being all older at that point in time. Everyone else were youngsters. It was actually literally older. Ubis had just broken into the ranks at that point in time, obviously as in the Super Rugby. So, like, we didn't have anybody to actually go to and say, okay, guys, my Milan, this is the issue we have. So, like, I'm saying it was just all order, but things weren't familiar with them in that respect. It's about, people. Okay. We just knew them, but Zabulisan here and there, but type of thing. Yeah. So, we weren't really familiar with them. And I think now, if we had actually gone back, hence I'm saying we also were the issue. If we had actually gone back and actually maybe try and create a certain relationship with them, Okanye, trying to understand their road as well and consulted them.
We
only found out later on that these guys also went through shit. They went through the most as well. So if we'd opened ourselves up at Kubo at that point in time, maybe things would have been very different.
Yeah.
So hence I'm saying, but a mentorship role is very, very crucial.
It's vital,
it is very vital, especially with these youngsters now. It is so important. Yeah, but so anyways, long story short, we come back, we start speaking to this agent guy. This guy's overseas now. We have to negotiate our contracts. So we end up negotiating nonsense. Anyways,
you're still stuck on this.
So we move from 2,000 to 5,000.
Single digit
contract,
bruh.
Hard. So we move from 2,000 to 5,000. Yeah, one. Grand. Okay. To us, okay, it's a bit better, but at the same time, we're like, okay, there's more expenses now. Yeah, born.
Yeah, of course, you're racking up bills. You want a car, whole works. Maybe. Yeah.
The whole work. So, yes, what about, okay. Then, when are they putting it? The thing is, the way they're structuring it, they're like, okay, fine. There's a junior level contract. There is Okay, it's junior level, then there's a high performance contract.
Okay.
And then obviously there's a senior contract, so to speak. So it's a case of, okay, you just came out of your junior level contract, now you're going into your high performance contract. That high performance contract, then obviously now that's when they're like, it's almost like a playing field, Google. Because high performance contract, are you going to talk about, okay, they need to pay you a certain amount? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no benchmark, so to speak. By that point in time. So that's when Natin, okay, fine, we move from 2 to 5, so we're okay, we're happy, you know, type of thing. Sure. Okay, you want to play under 21, we do the most. Now, but this time we're already standard fixtures in the, what's this? And we're already standard players in the Super Sport Challenge or Vodacom Cup. Yeah, born.
Okay.
So, mean that indirectly, if you're contracted for that, your benchmark should start at 15. But, okay, it's the reality.
You just want to play.
Yeah.
Got the Sharks jersey on, you're getting Sharks gear, you're looking nice.
For the pride, yeah, born. The ladies are taking note in the whole world, so it's one of those. Life is good. You're enjoying yourself. Sharp. So, we carry on, anyways. When we get now to, I think it's after 21. On 21 season. That's when we all basically decided about, no, listen, this guy's not good for us. Yeah, boy. This guy, this agent that we had, which was in-house, this guy's no good for us because there's nothing that everyone can lie that this guy making sense. And like, it seems as if our rugby is actually taking a step back. And by this time now, obviously there are other agents around that are actually seeing our progression and they're like, listen, they're dude, like, I want to represent you.
Yeah, boy,
this guy's not the one to represent you. Like, hey, not
we don't know. They probably know that the in-house guy is not there to... I mean, like, if you're an employee, he's probably got a mandate to keep that budget under a certain line.
Yeah. The funny thing is that he only came clean after we actually really interrogated him.
Really? You actually confronted him about it?
Like, the older brothers who were like, okay, guys, now at this point in time, this is Vulegil. Because now we're entertaining other agents and stuff. So now we've got the confidence to speak out and be like, listen, bro, bullshit is bullshit. Tayataman. You know, so when the guys interrogated him, we're like, listen, dude, what the fuck is going on?
That's
when he actually came out and was like, my man, like, guys, the position that I had, was about to make sure that, obviously, as you say yourself, to keep certain budgets down and to make sure that you guys don't overprice yourself, A, B, and C, and the whole works. And we're like, okay, see, we're grateful for the fact that you came clean with us, but the thing is, you've messed up 3 years of our lives. Some people now have literally been burnt as by now they can't get anywhere, they can't get contracts anywhere else because they don't even know what to do. Yeah, but the guidance that you were supposed to give us, you didn't do.
You didn't do your job.
Yeah, but
and he wasn't even there.
He wasn't even there. You know, especially around crucial times when it's around contract negotiations. That's when most agents are literally running around all over the place. That's when they're actually earning their money.
Yeah.
So to speak, this nigga leaves and goes to England. Then you ask your survival, guys. So the thing is, this is a phone call you'll get. Hey, listen, man. I set up a meeting with you and Strowley. On Thursday, whatever, just go and see him.
You're going to get eaten alive.
Dimkasa with Strowley.
You are going to get...
Dimkasa.
China, I'll tell you now, I'm grateful that in life I've never had to sit across the table from Rudolf Strowley and my livelihood is on the line. I don't think I will come out. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way.
Yeah.
The guy is just... He's a hard negotiator, man.
He's intimidating.
He's not what you would call a general manager in the NBA for nothing, man. Mm. He's like a David Griffin.
He's next level, this guy.
He's a Pat Riley of sorts. His job is to make sure that he gets a good player at half price on the dollar.
Yeah, but the thing is, let's get real. Look at the Sharks back then. He did a good job. He did a very good job.
Those were great years at the Sharks.
Look at this way, at that point in time, he had almost like a perfect balance of the youngsters and the old youth and the older and experience. So it was good in that respect, Yabon. But at the same time, let's get real, he's a very intimidating man.
Even
the intimidation at the Lions as well. Like when he got there, obviously got there as a commercial manager, then became CEO. He still had that presence, Yabon. But one thing we always liked about him is the fact that he's involved.
That's it from me, Sboom Chigeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox, Pocket Cast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at Sowetan Live on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the multimedia live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as the Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department, headed by Mninawa Mchana Ntoko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manyike. From us at the Sports Live Podcast, it's goodbye for now.